Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you on Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star is Colton Stone. And you, great to be with you. Can join us 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll free across the Hail Varsity Network, 1-800-825-5865. And on Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt _ radio. At Two Birds, One Stone. Can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. 24 hours from now, we will be at Longwell's. The Nebraska-Rutgers watch party will get rolling at 4, be done at 6, tip off at 5:30. You and your friends come on down and check out Nebraska basketball as they are going to put a run together not seen since Major League the movie. Right? I don't know who Serrano is. I don't know who a healthy Charlie Sheen is on the Nebraska roster. I don't know who Lou Brown is. You'd think Tim Miles, but Lou Brown's kind of his own sort of cool. And then there's Jake Taylor. So I don't know. I can't match up characters from Major League the movie that won the whole bleeping thing with Nebraska basketball. We'll hear from Tim Miles coming up. We'll hear from Russell Westbrook. This is incredible. This Utah-Oklahoma City debacle. And the Utah Jazz have permanently suspended this jackass who is all over Russ Westbrook. Man, I have some thoughts on that. Spring football resumes tomorrow. Can't wait for that. So let's start talking here about win totals, huh? For 2019. Good write up by Brandon Vogel. We love Vogues and his hot reads. And, you know, we've got the center position to talk about. We've got safeties. There's wideouts. The running backs, Adrian Martinez, all of that. Mitch Sherman's coming up in 15 minutes. He just did an overview, a preview for Nebraska spring football. So we'll talk with Mitch. Big Ten Buffet Time, Rick Pizzo will give us his thoughts on Nebraska and the tournament at the United Center. And Pizzo's going to be there doing sidelines, doing pregames, doing postgames. So Pizzo with us in 1 hour. Then how about some Cruton with Greg Smith of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Big-time quarterback out of Houston checking in with Nebraska yesterday on an unofficial. We'll get Greg's thoughts on some important offensive linemen and the pick quarterback Nebraska wants for 2021. Okay, so you have Bet Online out with win totals for Nebraska and many other schools. And Nebraska's over-under right now was set at 8. Here's what I was doing. I was doing Saturday night. I was watching the state Class A championship game, having a cold one and a slice of Lazari's. No lie. Was over there with Coach Brett, and we were hanging out, and we're just all sitting around, a bunch of dads. And the question's like, so, how many games is Nebraska going to win, Schmidt? And like, well, you're talking to the guy who had him at, what I say, 9 last year.
I don't have it recorded anymore.
No, we burnt that Nixon style.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's in a dumpster somewhere.
Yeah, we torched that thing. We threw water on the computer and then electrocuted it. Ah, I said 4. Really, I did. 8 is where I'm at. I know that sounds low. I think some Nebraska fans right now are at 9 or 10. But can you go based off of last year and the sobering reality? Look, there were 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. You had the start, and then you had the finish. And the finish was nice. It was 4-2, where you're right there against Ohio State. You come back against Iowa. You beat Sparty, man, in like an old-school throwdown Big Ten yesteryear win from the 80s, where it's 9-6, and the kickers are people, too. Okay? And that's how it went, right? So you lost to Ohio State. You lost to Iowa, but you played your butt off to get there and be in contention to win. And it took Purdue, and it took Northwestern, where you go from bad to worse, where it's not hair of the dog. It's not taking a shot at tequila after drinking tequila all night long. You didn't get better. You finally got better after Northwestern because you wound up and smoked Mr. Elite and his glow-in-the-dark yellow zip-up that says Minnesota on it. Eight wins, high or low or just right. And from a schedule standpoint with Nebraska, and this is all assuming what? This is assuming Nebraska is going to find what they want and what they need on the offensive line and stay healthy. This is assuming the defensive front is going to be bigger, stronger, faster, nastier moving forward. This is assuming teams aren't going to line up and go for two Bills on the black shirts or score 31 points. Mm-hmm. Now, I can see eight because your quarterback is phenomenal. Your quarterback is top 10 in college football, probably top five. I don't know that his supporting cast at this point is that. A year ago, it was. A year ago, they developed. A year ago, you had Ziggy. A year ago, you had Stan. Okay? What you have this year, don't know at running back. Mm-hmm. You just don't. What do you have at wideout aside from JD? Got a lot of guys that need to block and get better, and they can. Mm-hmm. And what do you have at tight end? Well, you need tight ends to start giving you some gash plays because you have monster mismatch body types. Do they get downfield and down the seam? On the offensive line, I keep coming back to the offensive line. I'm not worried about Bo Wilson. I'm not worried about Hymus. I'm not worried about Farniak. I'm interested in Hickson, and I'm interested in Jurgensen, and I'm interested in their backups. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm interested in where can this O-line go? And if Jurgens is going to be as good as advertised, where you know you get that like serious look from Greg Austin into the camera lens and says, no, dude's a good player. Already, good. Can Nebraska be that team on the line of scrimmage? I don't worry about Stilley, and I don't really worry about the Davis twins. I think they'll be better. They get it now, right? And and what you have with Daniels, not little Daniels, and neither of them are little, but the older brother that's come in, he's going to have to be the guy, right? I mean, I think he's going to be the ringleader of that defensive line. Does Colin Miller step up? What do you have at outside linebacker? Is Alex Davis ready to pop, finally? And your safeties, right? I mean, are your safeties talented? Yeah. Have they done it in Big Ten play? No. Mm-hmm. So there's so many question marks to say eight wins. But I can absolutely say that. What are my worry games right now? I mean, Colorado's Colorado. They got an SEC guy coming in to be their head coach. I don't know how deep or good their talent is. We'll have to talk to Barney here in a couple of weeks.
Got
to
watch out for batteries.
Right, and assuming that there's no snowfall. Back in the day, around Thanksgiving time on Black Friday, you had yellow snowballs packed with batteries. You had to dodge. It's time to wear that Nebraska hard hat, construction hat, and depending on your usher aisle, you could bring in a case of Keith Stone's special. All right, and it was okay. And Nebraska'd win by 40, and then they'd be down, and then they'd come back and win in overtime or on the last second stop at the sticks. It was good. So I think they win at Colorado, and I know Purdue's not the same Purdue. I think they lose a lot, but it's still out there, and Nebraska's just struggled with Purdue. Mm-hmm. That's a road game. I think Minnesota's a road game this year.
Yep.
And what do you do with your home slate? You pound Northwestern? Do you get even for years of frustration and put them in their place? I don't know. You hope so. Wisconsin and Iowa come to Lincoln. Got to at minimum split that, but it's time to start sweeping that. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you do in the West? Is the West that down where you make a run, or are teams continuing to climb the West? You get Ohio State in Lincoln, and this is the year you got to punch Ohio State in the face twice. They got no Urban. They've got no Haskins. This is the year where Ohio State becomes mortal again and wins only 9 games. You don't have to jerk with Michigan this year. And Maryland's in transition. With Durkin, though, Maryland always had somebody, right, at quarterback. They'll have two quarterbacks blow their ACL, and they'll find a third that'll put up 50 against Texas, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't like the Maryland game. I think that's here. Got to double-check that. And Indiana's here. Indiana's pretty decent. So the schedule isn't even close to as vicious as last year on paper. But I just wonder from a complacency standpoint, is there a game where Nebraska gets bit? We're way the hell ahead of ourselves, but we're talking win totals at 8. And I would say put Colton's money down and put my money down on a minimum of 8. Right now, I mean, you have teams like Alabama and Clemson at 11. That's nuts. You have a new coaching staff going to Alabama. They're great.
But they do that every year, though.
I know, but there's still money.
Yeah.
So you have really the question out there, you buying or selling at 8. Boise's at 8.5, Texas at 9.5, Central Florida's at 10, Miami's at 8.5. Tennessee will be better because they're pretty good. I think Florida's set to go in a really good direction. Mm-hmm. I think Mississippi State's going to really take a step back. They lose 3 NFL dudes on defense and a quarterback that was pretty good at running around for 100.5 a game. Other teams in the Big Ten here, Ohio State is at 10. I'm going under. Michigan's at 9.5. I'm going over. Penn State's at 8.5. I'm going under. Penn State's going to be a shadow. Yeah. Wisconsin, they'll be starting a freshman quarterback or somebody not named Hornibrook. Yeah. So I'll put Wisconsin right at 8-4. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. First glance, spring's not over. We don't know about injuries or depth or development. Paper says this to me. I'm buying Michigan, I'm buying Nebraska, I'm selling Ohio State and Wisconsin and Penn State. This isn't, man, I'm in a hater mood today. This is, they finally step back. I think Alabama continues to be nice, and yeah. I think Clemson's poised to be really good for a long time with the kid out of Dazed and Confused, the eighth grader, playing quarterback.
Yeah, My one concern, I think this is the biggest concern, you talk about health. There's one guy that has to, I mean, there's a lot of guys that have to stay healthy, but there's one guy that has to stay healthy.
Say it with me. It's Adrian.
Adrian Martinez, right? If anything, now I know you have McCaffrey, and I know you have guys that could play the position.
Listen, McCaffrey,
but
McCaffrey is going to be a very nice security setup.
Yes.
Okay? He'll keep pushing Adrian. And he's there.
And you've got Vedrill, and you've got other guys that
have bodies.
Can play.
You have bodies.
But okay, you don't want to rely on
here's
it.
Here's what you have that's different, though. It's not just bodies, and with all due respect to Vedrill, and I love him, and with all due respect to Bunchy, I love him. You've got McCaffrey that is good, and you're going to have to figure out ways to either get him on the field or just play him. And not burn a red shirt, but just find ways to play him and groom him. Because Nebraska is going to have a setup here. The way they're recruiting quarterbacks, we'll talk with Greg Smith about this. Nebraska is going to be stocked with quarterbacks.
Yeah. As long as given they don't leave.
Well,
right?
even if, and God forbid, even if someone leaves, they've gotten more coming in.
Exactly.
And they're early in on really good talent. I mean, we'll talk to Greg about this kid out of Houston. That is, God, he is great. Demetrius Davis, 45 touchdowns, 2 interceptions as a sophomore, for God's sake. And he won the state title in the largest class in Texas. He's that good. And he loves the fit with Nebraska. That's huge. You get that dude in 2 years. You've got the kid out of Alabama coming for next year. You've got McCaffrey. You've got Adrian for at least 2 more years.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. I think from a psychological and a leadership standpoint, you can't lose Adrian. But but from a depth standpoint, you're in a hell of a lot better spot now.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing is the depth is fine. And I think the depth at a lot of spots, of course, we're speculating 2 weeks into or a week and a half into spring ball. So they'll find a lot more guys that are capable of playing on the defensive side of the ball and find more guys that are capable of playing on the offensive line or as receivers. So that'll work out. But, yeah, from a leadership and from who you need on the field, it's Adrian that you can't lose. But you look at – so they win their last 4 of 6.
Mm-hmm.
If you do math, if they win 4 out of 6 both times next year, that's 8. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of where that number is coming from, I think.
Right. The coin flip is going to be do they morph into something special on the road?
Right.
And really good teams get tripped up in college football on the road. But do they go 5-1, 6-1 on the road next year? Do they win out at Memorial Stadium? Do they win all their home games at Memorial Stadium? Because that's kind of like, it's underappreciated, but it's still yet expected to defend the stadium. Right? I mean, you just, and it's been a situation where, I mean, Nebraska just, they've been bad at home for a long time. Teams have come in and just won. It's not been intimidating. And this year, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think there's going to be that expectation put back on that, you know, you don't lose here. You may have some tight ones here, but you don't lose here.
Well, when you think of, like, the Northwestern series, they play – I mean, they lost
each team
year,
plays better.
But they play better on the road.
Sure. They get a little, like, more juice.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to have a mindset and a mentality that's completely different.
Yeah.
It's going to be more 90s-like, where there is confidence and there is the expectation and there's vocal encouragement. But think about it. What say you about 8 wins? That's the number Nebraska's at. You taking more or less? What's the over-under for you? We'll talk with Mitch Sherman. Hail Varsity continues.
He's in his 30s. But sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Rick Pizzo's on the way. Greg Smith, we say hey with ESPN.com and magazine. Mitch Sherman at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. It's where you follow him. Mitch, what do you know? How's it going?
It's going all right. Been kind of a weird day in college sports, but going well. Never thought we'd be talking about Stanford sailing and whatever else is floating around out there and Aunt Becky.
Yeah, see, I go to the and I look at the USC administrator that has a cozy bank account, allegedly, of $1.3 million with money. And you're talking about the indictments with bribery, and you have some Hollywood folks that wanted their kids to go to big-time schools, so let's find a way to get them in. And they went the Christopher Moltisanti route, if you're a Sopranos fan, and had someone take the old test for them.
I mean, the crazy part is bribing the coaches of these total non-revenue, I mean, zero revenue sports, like men's tennis and women's sailing, and bribing these coaches at these prestigious institutions to use their coveted spots, or so we thought they were coveted spots, that they get from the admissions office what are supposed to be students, or I'm sorry, athletes, into school, and they're taking bribes to use them on prospective students who are not athletes. So the bar is lowered on the academic requirements for admissions. I mean, you know, it's crazy that this hasn't. It doesn't sound all that. It's bizarre, but when you think about it, I'm surprised that it hasn't come out sooner. I mean, it's probably been going on for a while, but I'm surprised this hasn't been uncovered sooner, because it doesn't seem like that crazy of a thing, especially as competitive as some of these institutions are in admitting students. So you wonder if this has been going on for like 20 years, or it's just getting they're getting popped now by the feds. But yeah, it's the new thing in college athletics, I guess. When it happens twice, it's a trend. So look out for the feds around the corner when you're at your favorite school, because they're there and they're apparently watching.
They're listening. And I mean, you mentioned Aunt Becky wanted her little one to go to USC, go pose next to a rowboat so we can say you're an athlete. You have the gal from Desperate Housewives, Felicity Huffman.
Felicity Huffman.
Yeah, she's married to William H. Macy, Shameless, and other projects he's done. And they wanted their kid to get in where? Was it Stanford?
That may have been Stanford. I don't know. Yale was involved. Texas was involved. I don't know where the Felicity Huffman offspring came down. There were a lot of them that these bribes were put out, and then the kids didn't even end up going to the school.
Right.
Is Yeah, the whole thing is bizarre in a completely new way, in amid a world of the seedy underworld of, it's not just college athletics. I mean, this is college admissions. This is the academic side of it. I mean, there's a lot going on here that really has nothing to do with at least it has nothing to do with big time college athletics. For once, you can say like football and men's basketball appear to be clean on this one. This has got nothing to do with them, because it would have been too obvious if you were dealing with David Shaw at Stanford on this deal. So they go to the women's sailing coach. I mean, it's pretty smart, but couldn't get it past the FBI.
I'm going to be whining enough about whatever college junior goes to. I'll be damned if I'm going to find a way to bribe extra to get him in, and then say it's Ivy League or Stanford or Michigan or wherever, and pay extra. I mean, I'm going to get destroyed on that tuition if he's not. I'm going to get destroyed anyway, right? I'm not going to bribe to get destroyed.
Well, that's why that's what separates you and the stars of Desperate Housewives and Full House.
I like it. And Becky, let's shake our finger at you. Oh my!
You're supposed to be a wholesome Nebraska farm girl, and
I know.
Currently not.
No, the whole world's been shattered. Let's talk some spring football with Nebraska. Mitch, enjoyed your preview on Nebraska here. And we were just talking, Colton and I, with the win-loss total. The over-unders are out, the preliminary ones anyway, have been put out. And Nebraska's at 8. It's Bet Online. And I want to get your thought first on that number right now as we talk here in March. Your initial knee-jerk to 8 is what?
Well, initially I think that's doubling your win total.
Which
is pretty ambitious, but I don't think that it's out of line for where the Nebraska program is at 4 months after Scott Frost's first season. As long as Adrian Martinez is healthy and running around and continuing to improve and taking the reins of leadership, you look at the home schedule and it sets up so that all of Nebraska's or most of Nebraska's best opponents are coming to Lincoln in 2019. 8 to me seems like a solid number. I think that, and this is the case every offseason, it was the case last year in the offseason when, you know, I think I was among many people who were probably saying, don't let this happen as the 2018 offseason gets longer and you get closer to July and August. Don't let it happen that your expectations just start to inflate and inflate and inflate to the point where Nebraska opened camp last year. I think there were people who thought they were going to win 9 games a year ago. The same people who probably thought it was 6 in March. So here we are in March again, and if you're talking about 8, you know, don't go into the season and think this team's going to win 11 or 12 games. But I think it's fine to have the expectation that they're going to double or more than double the win total from 2018. And that gets you in the 8-9 range. And, you know, I think a bigger thing is, you know, a more important thing is, are you playing for the West Division on Black Friday next year in Lincoln against Iowa? And if you get to that point, and it's the day after Thanksgiving, and you're still playing for a shot to go to the Big Ten championship game, then I think expectations have been met for the second season. And you know, that's not a slam dunk. That's what it takes. One side, you know, black and white. But generally speaking, I think that's where Nebraska expects and its fans expect to be in November.
That's well put. I mean, you look at, what are you playing for? How late in the season are you in contention? And from a schedule standpoint and a quarterback standpoint, there's your two big-time advantages for Nebraska. 8 seems like low if you just talk about Nebraska historically, but 8 sounds so awesome when you really look at what reality has been like the last few years. I mean, it's been a long time since you've won 8, let alone won 8, you know, of the 8 you've won, somebody was – of substance you beat. I mean, it's been a long time since you beat anybody that's been really pretty good. If, you know, if you're Nebraska, so.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at Michigan State, you know, just
sure.
At the end of the season last year and say that, and I don't want to take anything away from the team and say they didn't beat anybody good last year, but I know, you know, I know what you're saying. I mean, you're talking about winning a game of significance, And that was significant because of what Nebraska went through throughout the 2018 season. But it wasn't Michigan State of early in the year. You know, it wasn't Vince Murph D'Antonio. But it was a really cool win for Scott Frost's program. And that's the kind of thing that you build on to get the wins that are significant in a different kind of way. You know, where you're beating a team at its best, home or away, whatever, in a game that really means something for potentially the postseason or with championship ramifications.
Yeah, and I'm not throwing dirt on that Michigan State game was awesome. It was an important win. It was confidence building. It was a street fight, a bar fight, whatever you want to call it. Nebraska rose up and was tough against the blue collar of the Big Ten, and I thought that was monstrous for them. But I go back to the Okie State win in the Big 12 right after Nebraska lost to Texas. That's 2010. That's 9 years ago. I mean, that's the last big time ranked win they had. So, I mean, that one always sticks in my mind because of the bounce back. But we'll see. I mean, Nebraska have opportunity this year, and I think they'll be all right. Mitch, before we let you go, got about 3 minutes here, a little less than. Let's talk Nebraska basketball for 2 seconds. What do you think of Sunday's win, and what do you see for Nebraska in Chicago?
Feel good moment. I mean, incredible final couple minutes in that game. And I think we all know where the season is going or likely going at the end. But that's something that those players are going to remember. I think it's great for, you know, the guys like Thor Bjarnason. I just pronounced his name on the first try.
That's
first
so
time I've
good.
Ever said his name in public. But
I just go Thor, but good on you,
yeah,
show off.
Johnny Trueblood, Amir Harris. I mean, Amir Harris is going to have more moments, but those other two are not likely, and you know, not at least not like that. And you know, just for the program to have, it's not going to mean much to the future, to the long term future, even really to the short term future. But it's going to mean something to those players, and I think the fans who were there, you're going to remember that game. So that's good for them. You hate for Tim Miles to see, if that's his last game coaching at PBA, to go out in a way that just wasn't representative of the way that they played in that arena for most of his time as coach. They have been a good home team. I mean, there have been stretches where they were, but you know, they had the longest Power Five home winning streak in the country at one point this year. They stretched back to last season. So I think that's representative of the good that Tim Miles has done at Nebraska. And Sunday was like a cherry on top for that. So, you know, good for them for having the heart and the effort to go out and do that. And, you know, where do they go? I mean, now you got Harris hurt. They're just so thin. I mean, they can get by tomorrow, sure, but I don't see them going any further than that. I don't know how you can with the issues that they have. Maryland's got an inside presence that I don't know what Nebraska would do with. It didn't work really well, the defense that they had when they played previously, and things are worse for Nebraska in that spot now. So, you know, I think the season ends, you know, unless there's some kind of strange postseason. It basically ends on Thursday at the latest, I would expect.
It's Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and magazine at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. It's where you follow him. Mitch, fun to talk. We'll get caught up again soon. And thanks for the time. Thanks for the insight.
Appreciate it. We'll
Thank
talk
you.
To you later.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
There's Mitch Sherman with his son, Hale Varsity. And, yeah, the scandal he alluded to, where let's bribe our way in so our kids can say they went to Stanford too. We'll talk about Russell Westbrook. That's next on Hail Varsity.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Mitch Sherman. We're 20 minutes away. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. Greg Smith coming up. Some recruiting. Great to be with you on Hail Varsity Radio. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Again on Wednesday, we are live at Longwell's down in the rail yard. A watch party for Nebraska Rutgers. Want to see you down there. food and drinks in Nebraska, tipping off against the Fighting Tony Sopranos. So be down there for the watch party as Nebraska and Rutgers set to go. I want to remind you about buckling up. Something's got to stop that motion. You want it to be a windshield or a seatbelt. Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down. That applies to when you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. You can email chris@halevarsity.com or find us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio @2birds1stone. Colton, jump on here real quick. What did you do to me here?
What? No, this is okay.
Okay.
I think it'll be all right.
Let's go to the phone lines. John, John's going to weigh in here. John, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Schmitty. Hey, if UNO wins tonight, then that's the University of Nebraska going to the big dance.
Well, it's UNO.
Part of going, the same.
It's UNO going to the dance for the first time in history, and they're not that far removed from transitioning from Division II to Division I. So that is incredible and excited for UNO. Hope they get it done.
Yeah, it's still University of Nebraska. So.
Well, at Omaha. Absolutely.
Thanks
for the call. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Well, no, it's not the same. I'm cheering. I'm wearing red and black tonight in hopes
physically
that,
wearing it.
That UNO wins.
I hope so. Here's the thing with
our favorite person Saturday mornings, him and Brandon Vogel, is calling that tonight.
Yeah, if they win, Gary,
Sharpie's going to be dancing like
I won't be the only one streaking down O Street. I think
that'll be good.
UNO has been great all year, and I think the best thing for them is that they don't have to play Mike Dom and the Jackrabbits.
Right, South Dakota State.
Yeah, they get North Dakota State instead.
Yeah.
Now they barely won last night, but yeah, they've had an incredible season. It'd be awesome to see them go to the dance. Would you have said at the beginning of the year of the three teams that UNO would be the one to make it?
No, absolutely not, because you have Dom returning. I know Craig Smith has left for Utah State, but I think he loaded up University of South Dakota pretty well. I mean, they were on the cusp of going. And North Dakota State, I don't know their record. Are they a 2-seed? They're probably a 4-seed.
Somewhere around that. They were all right. Western Illinois was 10-20 when they beat South Dakota State.
No, I know.
So
and
that was the bad part.
You just can't have that lapse. No, I think and then Tradeon Hollins Tradeon Hollins left, the central stud. Mm-hmm. He's playing G League or pro right now, so he graduated a year or two ago. And then Trayshawn Thurman transferred.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's at Nevada.
He's getting big time
minutes for Musselman at Nevada. So you lose two of those kids, what are you supposed to do? You had a rough year a year ago.
Yeah.
And now you're back and
Better than ever, frankly.
Back and good, and Hahn, baby. I mean, that's good stuff. I hope UNO goes to Sweet 16. May I just, good for them. Let's talk Russell Westbrook here, and what happened last night in Utah was despicable. You had Westbrook expressing himself to fans with the Jazz. You had a heated exchange with a fan during the Thunder's win last night. I have audio of the viral footage of Westbrook yelling at said fan, but the headline is wrong. It says, Westbrook threatens courtside fan, fan's wife. No, the headline should read, A-hole fan and fan's A-hole wife was racially insensitive and verbally abusive to African-American man.
Yeah.
Not player, not all-star, not MVP. That's what the headline should read. So, cooler heads have prevailed, as in the Jazz players said, no, we heard it and saw it. The guy and his wife, jerks. Thunder players said that the guy and his wife, jerks. And if you're the NBA and you're handing out fines, you need to have some sort of statement to Russ. Mm-hmm. But you can't fine or suspend him for this. The Jazz have issued a press release. And the guy is 45-year-old Shane Kiesel, okay? They have permanently banned this fan, okay? Good. Man, I'm all for being crazy and loud and trying to bring a 12th man mentality and approach to a home court or a home stadium. It can be loud. It can be ruckus. It can be intense. It can be intimidating. Your job as a fan is to be so loud that it gets under the skin of the other team's best player. Right? Show your support. Cheer your guys on or your gals on. But in no way, shape, or form does it need to cross the line into being racially insensitive, verbally abusive. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, listen, there's verbal abuse, but what are the degrees of it? Mm-hmm. And Russ is a sensitive guy, but Russ is tired. Russ is sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yep.
He's sick and tired of going to places like Utah. He's sick and tired of going to places. Who else? Where else?
Well, it's happened a
Portland.
Lot in Utah, frankly.
Utah. And I saw Dean Blevins tweet this out. Dean did some research on this Kiesel character, and he's got insensitively, like, crazy, far leaning right, hate group type takes or retweets. I haven't checked the guy's Twitter out. I'm going to take Dean's Twitter post as gospel. But, you got a lot of crazies everywhere. You've got some crazies in Utah. And just because you're courtside, would you have the, you know what, to say that to Russ if you're on the street? No, because you're sitting third row near the court doesn't protect you, and it shouldn't protect you from getting your butt kicked. Here's Russell Westbrook post-game. On what happened last night. Utah did the right thing. Utah should have done the right thing before and kicked this guy's ass out of the stands after it happened. It shouldn't be 24 hours later that he's getting a written reprimand. Here's Russ.
Life in the stands told me to get in on my knees like he used to. And for me, that's just completely disrespectful to me. I think it's racial. I think it's just inappropriate in the sense of there's no protection for the players. I think there are a lot of great fans around the world that like to come to the game and enjoy the game. And there are people that come to the game and to say mean, disrespectful thing about me, my family. For many years, man, I've done all the right things. I've never done anything to hurt or harm anybody. I've never been in any trouble. Never fought a fan. Been in the league 11 years. Clean slate. Humble. I take whatever, all the criticism from everybody. I've been doing the same thing for years. And for me, disrespect would not be taken from me. I'm completely sit back some time and just take it like that's just one video. But throughout the whole game, since I've been here, especially here in Utah, every time I come here, it's a lot of disrespectful things I said. And for me, I'm just not going to continue to take disrespect from my family.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this hour, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and a big thanks to Mitch Sherman talking some Nebraska spring football. That win totals what we spent time on this first hour. 8 right now, and for more of the breakdown, go to HailVarsity.com. Check out Brandon Vogel's story, his hot reads from this morning. But 8 seems like at a minimum, yeah, not to grow this elephant of win totals too quickly, too soon. But I think it sets up that 8 you can feel good about. And Mitch nailed it, man. If you're playing against Iowa on Black Friday for the chance to go to Indy, then that's where you're going to be. And you need here's the honest to God truth. While you have a talent like Adrian Martinez at quarterback, you cannot waste the talent like Adrian Martinez at quarterback because they do not come along that often, period. You need to be able to win games, and it can't all be on him. And it's a team, and I know it's a team focused by Frost and his coaches, but you need to accelerate what's around him offensively and defensively to not just have him here and then not match up, not have complementary components where you've got a great quarterback with a great defense, a tough offense, and good special teams.
How similar does this feel to UCF's first year with Scott?
Last year or this year?
His first year there.
His first year, they were 6-7.
So they were 6-6, right?
They were 6-6 and lost in a bowl game.
Right.
Yeah.
But then the next year, they go undefeated, mm-hmm. right? And they had developed, and you know, they threw Mackenzie Milton to the wolves, essentially, mm-hmm. because he hadn't played. And I feel like, I don't want to say that's what they did to Adrian. Obviously, he was ready to play.
Well, he was the best they had.
Right. But also, their defense quite wasn't up to snuff yet. Their offense was still developing.
Right. And then Central Florida's defense went nuts in 17.
Year. Exactly. I'm not trying to make that comparison.
No, it's fine. It's fine to ask the question and say, hey, can all year twos under Frost be the same? It's
right,
fine.
Exactly.
It's fine to want that as a Nebraska fan. I just think you had some guys that were very comfortable and confident and experienced.
Yeah.
In that second year.
The experience level is much different because Nebraska has a lot less.
You have less experience at safety. Outside linebacker, I don't think you're bad, but you're not deep.
Right.
And from an offensive line standpoint, that's you got 3/5 back, which is great, but two big question marks. And
the
from
other
a
2/5 are important.
Right. Yeah, the other 2/5 huge, especially at center. And there's no Smith or who's the running back for Central Florida?
Well, there's Killens. There's Killens. Another one too.
But. Killens. Right. You don't have a Killens. Okay.
That you know of, at least, right?
Right. I mean, you had a Ziggy last year, which was money, but you don't have a Killens and you don't have a Smith at wideout.
Right.
Because he was great. He was great for Central Florida. You had Spielman, different body type.
Right. You need that big. We can stress that all
I'll say, I'll say this. I'll
fall,
say this. But. I'll say year three for Nebraska. God, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. Year three at Nebraska is going to be your breakthrough, where it's not just Big Ten West, it's not just competing for a Big Ten championship, it's 10-11 wins and nice bowl game. And if they get there in year two, give the man a hug and a bonus and keep his staff together, okay? But I just think it may be too soon yet in year two. Not that they can't do it, but it'd be something if they did.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Tower 2 at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, and he is going to be busy. He's all over the Big Ten Network. It's Big Ten Buffet time. Rick Pizzo back with us at BTN. Rick Pizzo. Rick, exciting time. United Center, Chicago, and you're not going to sleep much, man. How are you?
No, oh, it's an awesome week, Chris. It is busy, but it's so much fun. I get to dive back into my sideline reporting duties, which I don't do typically over the course of the regular season, but I get to do again through tournament time. I'll see a couple of games in that capacity Thursday, a couple of games Friday, then host all of our stuff pregame and postgame after the champ game on Sunday at the United Center. It is just my favorite week of the year, bar none.
It is, man. And Nebraska, I want to go back to Sunday. Just improbable, right? I mean, just what a crazy finish for Nebraska to hit as many shots as they hit, to come back from the deficit they came back from with the time remaining. Iowa is snake bitten. They've been kind of the, I don't know the best term for them, but they were living a charmed life a lot of this Big Ten season, and last second heroics by Bohannon and company. Nebraska found a way, depleted. They're even more depleted heading into Rutgers tomorrow. And size up Nebraska right now with momentum. Do you think they can put a little bit of a run together? Is there no chance? Is there an okay chance? Size up Nebraska right now, what a win like Sunday can do going into a tournament situation.
I'll be dead honest with you, Chris. I think what we saw offensively from Nebraska on Sunday, and really even what we saw the entire last week of the year, is why we are so frustrated with this team all year. if Glenn Watson plays at that level, especially offensively, and you're not going to ask him to do everything that he did in the win over Iowa, but if he plays close to that level, this becomes a different team because everybody feeds off the confidence and leadership of the guy that they want to be their confident leader. And so then you see Palmer taking not just more shots, but better shots. You see guys more energized on the defensive end. And certainly there are some defensive deficiencies to clean up in there, giving 91 points up, but that's what Iowa can do to you. I love what Nebraska has as far as a matchup is concerned on Wednesday. They have to do one thing to beat Rutgers, and they cannot get crushed on the boards. Rutgers is really good offensive rebounding-wise. Nebraska is not very strong there. If this game gets into any sort of a track meet or any sort of a shooting contest, then Nebraska has a huge advantage. They're at a disadvantage if Rutgers is able to slow things down, get it dirty, turn it into one of those throw it up against the backboard and toughest guy goes and gets it kind of games, because Rutgers is going to win that game. If it turns into a basketball game, if it turns into something of aesthetic beauty at all, I think Nebraska's in great shape.
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, Nebraska this season, when they've been on and they've looked like the team they were projected to be, it's been tempo, it's been ball movement, and you nailed it, man. Nebraska put up some good points against Sparty, showed some heart against Sparty. It's been a while since we've talked. They looked like they didn't want to be in Ann Arbor. That's been, you know, caused some Nebraska fans to be disgruntled. What Nebraska team's going to show up? But I think they're a bit galvanized with the injury situation. Thomas Allen likely won't go, probably won't go. Of course, Amir Harris out with a meniscus issue. So it's Thor and Johnny Trueblood, right, that are going to get many minutes. And while that isn't great for Nebraska compared to what they're losing talent-wise, you're getting some blue collar, some hustle, some try-hard guys, and I mean that as a compliment that the rest of the team can kind of feed off of. And maybe that's a bit of what Nebraska's missed all year, is that blue-collar edge, Rick.
Maybe it is, but the trouble is if you try to out blue collar Rutgers, I think you're going to come up short.
Sure.
Because those are the kind of guys that Steve Peichel recruited his first couple of years. Now he's trying to go out and get more talent, guys like Geo Baker and Montez Mathis, guys who are underclassmen on this team. But these seniors and these older guys, like Eugene Omoruyi, I mean, he is a grown blank man. You don't go toughness versus toughness against Eugene because you're going to lose. And so I think Nebraska has to be good on the boards, but they also have to make sure that they are in a flow. When this team offensively is in a flow and Watson leads that flow, it leads to better shots for Palmer. It leads to more drives instead of contested threes. That's when this team is dangerous. That's what we saw against Iowa, and that's why we were pulling our hair out when they weren't doing it over the course of the regular season.
Let's talk Tim Miles here. If a change is made in the end of this week or next week, I don't know what's going to happen timeline-wise. Okay. You just know that things were set up by Bill Moose for Tim Miles. I want to see you do it again, prove it year, and Nebraska didn't prove it this year. If a change is made, how do you remember Tim Miles?
Well, I think first and foremost, you remember him as an unbelievable personality, and I think he put, whether you like the way that he is off the court, that kind of personality drew attention to Nebraska that it didn't have in the past. Doc Sadler was a really nice guy. He didn't have that kind of personality to bring that kind of attention to Lincoln. Now, Tim got a lot of help with PBA. He got a lot of help with the extra money. He got a lot of help with the transition to the Big Ten. I think all those things brought extra attention to the program. I think, unfortunately, ultimately, he's going to be remembered, if this is it, as a guy who got one team to the tournament when there probably should have been two. Because most fan bases will remember one thing about their team. How many tournaments did you get to? Now, the elite fan bases will remember how many Sweet 16s, how many Final Fours. Most fan bases remember how many tournaments did you get to, how long were you there, and is that ratio enough to make me happy? You're closer to that fan base than I am. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that ratio is not enough to make that fan base happy. I think Tim Miles is a hell of a basketball coach. I want to make that remarkably clear. I think Tim would be the first guy to honestly tell you this year was an unbelievable disappointment. Now, the toughest decision of all, it's not Tim Miles, it's not the fans, it's Bill Moose's.
You look at Tim Miles, too, and I'll say this about him, Rick. He found a niche when it comes to the transfer market.
Yep.
You do. And it's very prevalent around college basketball. You got on average three guys leaving a squad a year, right? Or 2.5 or whatever, but you round up. And he found top 50, 150, top 100 guys to come in. And that worked sometimes. Sometimes that didn't work when it comes to roster construction and depth and lack thereof depth. So that was an issue. With Miles, though, this program's closer to what I grew up with in the Danny Nee years, where they're going to the tournament 4 out of 5 years, and Nee went 7 times in his 14 years and also went to the NIT. So 10 of Nee's 14 years, he's in the postseason, right? And just near misses on some years at the NCAA tournament. So I thank Tim Miles for that, where he elevated Nebraska's program. His personality did that, but he also brought in a higher level of player that you saw at nights where James Palmer Jr. or Andrew White or Teran Petaway or Walt Pitchford would go off against Sparty, or they'd make the magic happen at No Sit Sunday 5 years ago. The Iowa game folks are going to be talking about for years to come, if that was the last rodeo. So I think he's really moved Nebraska basketball forward. Rick, what did you think you were getting with Nebraska basketball when Nebraska joined the league? Was it even on the radar?
No, and I think, and I've said this not only about programs, but about coaches as well. Sometimes you are a victim of your own success if that success happens too early.
Good call.
And it was fairly quickly after PBA was unveiled and after this team joined the league that you have that Teran Petaway-led team making a run to the NCAA tournament. And you had that unbelievable scene at the end of the year beating Wisconsin, right? When you knew you clinched the bid and the needle is pointing up and everything's heading in the right direction. But that's not necessarily reality for the majority of teams in the majority of Power 5 leagues. There is a blue blood mentality and there is a lineage that belongs to teams like Duke and Carolina in the ACC, that belongs to teams like Kentucky and now Tennessee in the SEC, that belongs to the Michigans and the Michigan States and the Purdue's in the Big Ten. And I've said all along, I think it is foolhardy to believe if you are at certain programs that you are going to be in contention in the immediate future for a Big Ten regular season title or a top four seed on a regular basis. I just don't think it's reality right now. And I think Nebraska is one of those programs. Now, that is not saying anything wrong, that there is anything wrong with that program. It is just saying that the reality of that program, how you have to recruit, the players that you have to bring in, and how hard it is to be the number one show in town when you are the basketball team, not the football team, that makes it more difficult. That's reality. That is not my opinion. And I think anyone that would look at this with an unbiased opinion would say the exact same thing. So, do I think that there could have been more postseason appearances? Certainly more in the NIT and another one or two in the NCAA? Absolutely. But do I think this program failed to meet the expectations or the realities of where I expected it to be at this point when it first joined the Big Ten? I don't really think it's that far below that, no.
Rick Pizzo's with us, Big Ten Buffet Time at BTN, Rick Pizzo. Rick, in your opinion, what is the Big Ten cut line right now? Who's on it? Who's below it? Who's above it for the NCAA tournament?
I think right now it is at 7 because I think Minnesota is in unless they absolutely get shellacked against Penn State, and then that becomes a conversation. I think they're on the right side of the bubble. I think they got there with that win over Purdue. So I think you have 7. Iowa's obviously trending in the wrong direction right now, but I think they're still in the tournament. The most interesting game, Chris, is probably the first game on Thursday afternoon. It's Indiana-Ohio State. The 9-seed Hoosiers, 8-seed Buckeyes, both teams have been on that bubble now for a couple of weeks. Ohio State gets Caleb Wesson back. Does the committee look at Ohio State if they win that game as a team that is completely different with Wesson and they somewhat discount the eggs that they laid in the 3 games without him? Now, if Ohio State loses with Wesson back on the floor, then I think the Buckeyes are potentially in trouble. Indiana's fascinating because if they win, they still have so many losses on that resume. Do they need a third consecutive win over Michigan State this year to get in, or do they just need to show up well? That's going to be the deciding factor between whether this league gets 7 or whether this league gets 8.
You're right, man. You've got an elimination game Thursday, and I think if Indiana keeps winning, I think they're in, and I know the bubble's not as strong as it's been in past years, and I think the team that they remind me of, and this goes back 1,000 years, but the Notre Dame LaPhonso Ellis squad. This might have been 90 or 91 where they were 16 and 13. Yeah, they had some head-scratcher losses. They were an independent then, but they also had some monster wins at Madison Square Garden was what comes to my mind. I think they beat Duke that year with LaPhonso. Listen, I think Indiana is got enough wins with the sweep over Sparty to stay on the right side of the bubble. There's some positive buzz about them nationally. I think if they get by Ohio State and hang with Michigan State, I think they get in.
Oh, I think they're going to be really close. And I think the point being then that the committee has to pay attention to Indiana's margin of defeat, if it's a defeat, against Michigan State, and understand they've beaten them twice already this year. So I think Indiana is probably in on the strength of the Ohio State win alone. If they beat Michigan State for a third time, I mean, it's not even a debate. They're probably out of the first four. You probably don't even have to play on Tuesday or Wednesday in Dayton. I think the more fascinating scenario for the committee, and it's probably not a scenario the committee wants to deal with, is Indiana beating Ohio State and then really struggling against Michigan State with as soft as the bubble is this year. What do you do with the Hoosiers versus some of these other teams that are also hovering right around that 500 mark?
Ultimately, who's your champion on Sunday?
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say, and I guess people are going to say, well, you're not really going out on a limb because you're going to pick the number one seed, but I've been on Michigan State all year, and I slowly started to back off Michigan State when they lost Nick Ward because we weren't sure of his return. But the way that I saw Xavier Tillman play in the second half against Michigan leads me to believe that Tom Izzo is going to be able to slowly bring Nick Ward back. Maybe 10, 12 minutes on Friday. If he feels good, 15 to 18 on Saturday. Maybe you play him as many as 20 on Sunday. You don't need him for 25 or 30 because Tillman has been that good. Matt McQuaid has stepped in really well for Joshua Langford, has turned into one of the better defenders in this league. And the main reason I'm picking Michigan State is the player of the year. I think at the end of the game, there's nobody else who I want with the ball in his hands more than Cassius Winston. It could be that Michigan State's toughest game is that first-round game on Friday. It is always tough when you play a team that's won a game or two, has all that momentum, and you've been sitting around for 3 or 4 days. But if they get past that, I really like what Michigan State brings to the table.
I think you're right on with Winston. He has willed this team, and you have a lot of talent with Sparty this year, but you don't have lottery talent per se, and this team's more gelled, in my opinion. They're playing at a high level compared to last year where the expectation was high. It's a more cohesive unit. Rick, real quick thought on Nebraska spring ball. What do you want to see from Adrian Martinez this spring as he gets ready for the fall?
Yeah, obviously, you don't have to worry about his legs, right? You just don't have to worry about his ability to turn busted plays into big gains for this offense. But I would like to see him be a little bit more patient in his reads.
Okay.
I think the longer that defenses have to study a quarterback, the one thing that they are able to pick up on is his decision-making and how long it takes him to decide whether he is going to run with the ball or whether he's going to look for that second or third option. If you are always willing to look for that second and third option, that makes you a slightly more dangerous runner because it keeps the linebackers and it keeps the safeties frozen in pass coverage and they can't focus on you specifically as a runner. When you are an instinctual athlete like Adrian is, you can make a ton of plays with your legs, and you do that when your team needs to. And I'm not saying he shouldn't do that because he is a dual-threat quarterback in the true sense of the word and needs to stay that way for the Husker offense to be effective. But imagine if he can be that guy running the football but is a more patient thrower and sometimes looks for that second and third option, and instead of a 6 or 8 yard gain with his legs, he's able to pick up 12 or 14 to the tight end who is probably number 3 in the progression. That, to me, is what takes him from being a really good athletic quarterback to being an elite player at the toughest position on the field.
That's Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. Catch him all tournament long on BTN at BTN Rick Pizzo. Rick, thanks for the time today, bud.
Chris, my pleasure as always, man. Enjoy the week. It doesn't get better.
And now back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk some Cruton. Love catching up with him, Greg Smith of HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV. So we follow him on Twitter, read him with HailVarsity.com. Greg, what's good? How are you, man?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm currently looking at an almost flood situation in my backyard. I think it's a mini lake building back there.
Yeah, I remember that and that part of town. I grew up where you're at, and yeah, I mean, if you had a raft, it was a good time. If you were paying right. bills and had a basement, it wasn't so fun.
Yeah.
Have
so
you
far,
avoided?
So far, so good on the basement
okay.
water, but it's crazy in the backyard. But
that
hey,
is good.
At least the snow was going away.
No, it's nice around. I mean, it actually feels like spring, and that's a good thing. Spring ball. Before we get into recruiting and yesterday, what are some of your impressions from what you saw with Nebraska and spring football yesterday? What were a couple of your takeaways?
Yeah, I guess the first thing in a big picture is everything seemed to move even faster, which is kind of wild to think about, considering what we saw last year and how up-tempo those practices are. But I spent a good amount of time down by on the offensive end, kind of watching them, checking them out, seeing the different quarterbacks run through the drills and the pre-practice, and that they all seem to have a pretty good grasp on things. Even though Scott Frost was yelling at one point for them to pick up the pace and go faster, they were moving at a pretty good clip. I also noticed that Cam Jurgens, I have got to stop saying former tight end because mm-hmm. he's a full-fledged center now. He definitely has grown some and gotten bigger, so he definitely looks like a Big Ten center. Then I'm curious the amount of athletes or the athleticism that they have on defense is kind of surprising to me. It looks like guys are getting bigger, stronger, faster, and I'm curious to see how that all kind of comes together as we move through spring and get through fall, because obviously that side of the ball needs probably a bigger jump than the offense
is bad. Is Darian Daniels a dude on defense that's going to be as good as advertised from a leader? I mean, the guy can play when he's healthy, but is he going to be the ringleader that makes the rest of that line step their game up? I know Stilley's done the work in the offseason. I know the Davis twins are hungry. I know Damian needs to be in better shape, but he can be a force when he is. But is Darian going to bring it all together? Is that part of his role? Is that part of what was so good about getting him to come in as a grad transfer?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's kind of an unintended consequence or benefit in this case of him coming in is it does make everyone else step their game up. And it's not just because he's a good leader, and we've heard about that already. And some of the guys have mentioned that, some of the coaches as well, about his leadership and him pushing guys in the weight room. But when you add another good player that's going to, at the very least, he's going to be in the rotation. I think he'll be right in line to start. But at the least, he'll be in the rotation. So he's going to make guys sit up and take notice and know that they've got to work a little harder. I think he could be a big-time benefit in a lot of ways for the team. But just talking body types as well, he was actually bigger than I thought he was going to be. He's a stout guy in the middle, and you can tell he's a grown man that's gone through basically the entire college football process. He could be a nice help for an addition for the Huskers.
Greg, let's go to the unofficial visit yesterday. Demetrius Davis of Houston, North Shore, the number one high school program in the country. All he did as a sophomore was win a state championship in Texas, which it's hard to do. All he did was throw for 45 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. That's it as a sophomore. I'm going to repeat that as a sophomore thing as long as we're talking. Where's Nebraska at with him? Obviously, they got him on unofficial. That's huge. But what's your what recon were you able to gather from Davis, people close to him, where Nebraska's at? How big a deal was yesterday?
Yeah, so it's a really big deal for Nebraska to get him on campus because, as you just kind of laid out, like he's a great player. He's got great stats. The one that you didn't mention was that he threw for 71% completion percentage as a sophomore as well. So anytime you have a quarterback that throws for that many touchdowns, and few interceptions and yards, wins the state championships and completes his passes at a high rate like that, you know that's a guy that Verduzco and Frost are looking at. And it's a big deal to get him on campus because he's got, as you would expect, the top-end schools after him, the Alabamas of the world, teams like that. So when you get him on campus early, make that early impression, and he's starting to build a really good relationship with Coach Verduzco, that's a really big deal. But one of the things to keep in mind as we really kind of spin this thing forward for the class of 21 quarterback recruiting, and the reason we're talking about that so much is because Nebraska has their 2020 quarterback in Logan Smothers, is that the state of Texas is loaded, shocker, for quarterbacks for the class of 2021. Not all of them can go to Texas schools, he could end up being one of those guys. So to get him on campus early, and they had to have him this enthused about the offense too, it's a pretty big deal in the process.
Here's where Nebraska's competing here. Arkansas, LSU, A&M, all closer to home. Bama, Florida, Florida State, and then there's Nebraska, but Nebraska got him. He's already visited Arkansas, LSU, and A&M because of the vicinity.
Yep.
Is Nebraska, should you feel good that you've already gotten him to campus, or do you feel like, okay, we're not behind in the race, but we're not leading it because he went to these other places first? How do you read much into that?
No, I think you're kind of right on the trail there with just the proximity and that allowing him to get to some of those other schools quicker. The fact that he came all the way to Nebraska from Texas this early in the process spells to you how interested he is in Nebraska. I know he also wants to come back in the fall for a game. So I think Nebraska's right in the thick of things there moving forward. And the other thing to keep in mind is, remember, quarterbacks make those decisions very early.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as if we're going to be waiting 2 years and all like good for him to make a decision. So you want to make sure that you get that guy in front of your coaches and get eyes on him in person as early as possible.
Greg Smith with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. We're talking about a really talented 2021 quarterback, Demetrius Davis out of Houston, Texas, state champion, 71% completion percentage. And where's he ranked? Is he the top dual threat?
I think there's one ahead of him in Texas, if I'm not mistaken. Nebraska has offered him as well, and he's also interested, which is something that I think you're going to hear. You're going to hear a lot with this coaching staff, with Frost and Verduzco, and the way that this offense is going to be attractive to quarterbacks. All of the top dual threat quarterbacks basically would be interested in Nebraska. It's whether or not Nebraska at this point, the way they go, is interested in them, because you know that they're also not afraid to go a little bit off the beaten path for a guy kind of like they did Logan Smothers, who is not as highly rated as some others, but he still continues to pick up offers down south as well.
Well, you've got Jake Garcia, Vandegrift out of Georgia. You have Preston Stone out of Dallas. You have Milroe out of Katy, Texas. You have Tyler Bushner. He's a Notre Dame committee out. He's out of La Jolla. I mean, those are the kids that Nebraska's offered. They've offered six quarterbacks. They should be able to land one of the six based on what they've done. When you look at the board, Greg, who's top of the board? Is it going to be Davis?
Yeah, I think Davis is in the mix. I think Garcia is in there. Milroe, I think, is also one of the guys to keep an eye on, too. And I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't pop up sometime this spring on campus. But it'll be – the thing is Nebraska affords the luxury to kind of take their time. It's not only are they a little bit off from that, but they feel really settled about where they are at the quarterback spot based on who's already on campus with Adrian Martinez and Luke McCaffrey. But then what they have in the boat for 2020 and Logan Smothers is that they don't necessarily have to rush a kid into a decision. They can really take their time, and more guys can emerge and come on the board as well.
Let's talk O-line. Got a couple minutes left here. Reese Atterbury, kid out of Colorado, Eagle Crest. What are your thoughts on him? He makes Nebraska makes his top five. Also, you have four-star Roger Rosengarten out of Valor Christian out in Colorado. You had down – he was here last week for an unofficial, and then Turner Corcoran also is still – right there for Nebraska. Give us an update on these three linemen.
Yeah, so like you said, Atterbury had Nebraska in his top group here recently, and it's going to be a tough battle for him. I think Oklahoma and Ohio State and Notre Dame are a few of the teams that are also, and I think Duke is the other one. Notre Dame is, I think, one to watch in his recruitment, but Nebraska's right there if they can get him on campus, probably for a spring or summer official visit, because I believe he wants to make a decision before his senior season. That would go a long way. Turner Corcoran should be coming back to Lincoln sometime this month for a spring practice. He'll be at Ohio State for their spring game, which is the same day as Nebraska's, but I still continue to feel great about where Nebraska is with Turner. And then Roger Rosengarten is a really interesting one. I'm actually writing a little bit about for the notebook tonight, little tease. He was a guy that Nebraska offered him first, right? And since then, I think he's close to now 30 offers and basically has the who's who. And so we'll see if that relationship that Nebraska Bill Early can really carry the day for him. But I think Nebraska will at least get an official visit from him sometime this summer as well, because he also wants to make a decision before his senior season. And once we get to the summer, the rubber's really going to meet the road with some of these big-time targets.
Who's kind of leading the way? Is it Austin? Who's got the best connection so far? Is it Held? I mean, or is it different for these three kids?
It's a little bit different. So for Rosengarten and Atterbury, Barrett Rood is their lead recruiter because he has Colorado. But then Greg Austin is heavily involved, obviously. And then Ryan Held was the first point of contact for Turner. But then Greg Austin is also really involved there as well. So it's a little bit of a mix. But that's also where the way that they recruit allows more coaches to be really involved with prospects, and it makes that family atmosphere really shine through because you get more points of contact out of staff.
Greg, we were talking win totals. Vegas out 8 for Nebraska right now early. Over, under 8 right now. You can change your answer. This is just pencil, not ink.
Oh, if this is pencil, I'm going to go under.
Really?
I'll play a little conservative, but I would be trending towards over. The reason I say under is I still think that there's a lot of questions at this point. Because if you really start to list it out, there's a lot of positions where you're like, man, I'm not quite sure about that. Because if you start to think about where you feel very comfortable, is it really just quarterback and defensive back right now?
I think you're right. Colton and I have been going back and forth for hour and a half on this, and it's really not, when you look at the facts, you've got a quarterback and two corners, right?
Right.
When you look at what needs to step up, the front seven and the safeties, you could have great talent at safety. You'll be better athletically. You'll be better athletically at safety, but guys haven't done it yet. And offensive line, got to tell me who center is and who that right guard is, or the left guard is going to be, not the right guard. That's Bo Wilson, but give me some depth. The running back room is freaking paper thin, and who's behind JD to make some plays? So, I mean, yeah, I think I settled at 8 because of those questions. I like their schedule, and I like their quarterback. Greg, we'll do this again, man. This was so much fun to get caught up with you and talk. Thanks for a few minutes with us.
Hey, thanks as always, man. Appreciate it.
All right, there he is, Greg Smith. Good stuff on recruiting, and this quarterback is magic. He is money. Tremendous. 2021 prospect Demetrius Davis. We'll head down to Tampa short.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star. Colton Stone, a reminder to you about your friends at Sauter Heyman and maybe where you're at as a boyfriend and or husband. Is it time to make that upgrade? Is it time to make a step forward? Is it time to surprise her with a 1-carat diamond? Well, Sauter Heyman's got a special going for you, and that is a 1-carat diamond solitaire, just $100 a month. That's less than the price of a cup of coffee per day, and very affordable. Think about that, and maybe it's time to upgrade that ring or time to get her that first ring. Sauter Heyman can make it happen. Limited time offer with this diamond ring, 1-carat diamond solitaire with Sauter Heyman. Get to see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman now, soon, pronto, and make it happen. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln or out west in Grand Island. Can log on, SauterHeyman.com. Let's pot the old phone up here. We are going to do some parental checking. We okay? You want to? There we go. We're going to dial Junior. My little guy Carson is on spring break with Grandpa Al. They're down in Tampa because they're both bastards. It's sunny and nice. I love them both, actually, and they're all over the New York Yankees. That's their team. I hate them for it, too. But we're going to check in because Junior's getting a little too close to Aaron Judge.
Yep.
Carson, you're on live radio. Don't swear or you're grounded. How are you?
Okay. Good.
So tell me about where you're at right now. I just saw pictures, and you're within a cutoff throw to Aaron Judge. Is that correct?
Yeah, down the first baseline.
Okay. So who are the Yanks playing tonight?
The Orioles.
So you're really ticked that Manny left.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay, you landed in Tampa yesterday.
Yep.
What'd you do last night?
We went to a Longhorn Steakhouse.
Okay, you know, you can go to that in Omaha.
So, yeah. It's good wherever you go, right?
I'm just saying. Okay, no seafood. So you went to the steakhouse. Did you get a prime rib? Did you get a New York strip? What'd you get?
Sirloin.
Sirloin. Okay.
Yes. Went cheap.
Did Papa buy or did you?
Me.
Okay. Oh, so you bought. What mom gave you the card? Why didn't you just get a filet, dude? Just run it up on her.
I was gonna get a New York strip, but you know.
Do it.
Top it with a lobster tail.
Yeah, get a lobster tail. Colton's joining in here. Your baseball tonight. The Orioles and the Yankees. You're down in Tampa. It's Yankees spring training. So who's throwing tonight for the Yanks?
Jonathan Muizianka.
Okay. Well done.
Donga.
Try that again.
Luisiaga. Yeah.
Okay.
He's one of the young guys.
Right. So we got to cut to the chase. You are notorious for warming your beautiful little face into getting autographs. You even got Reggie Jackson to sign for you in Denver and didn't even have to offer him a brownie.
Yeah.
So who did you get today? What autographs do you have?
Sadly, nobody.
You got shut down in Tampa?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Nobody really signed at all.
Man, that's why you go to spring training, isn't it? Is to get signatures?
Yeah, but all the good players were mainly on the actual field because they were playing today.
Gotcha. So is this kind of a doubleheader? You had the A team earlier, and then you got the young prospects tonight?
Yeah.
And you'll see the older guys tomorrow, correct? You'll see Judge and you'll see...
No, Judge is playing today. We have pretty good lineup today.
Who's in the lineup? Do you have the starters?
Yeah.
You're clearly not keeping score. No? It's all right.
Well, yes. But...
Okay. Well, no. What I meant is you didn't write the lineup down.
I have it on my phone, but you know.
You're using your phone. Well, good luck. So are you along first baseline?
Yeah.
Okay. So you'll get a foul ball, or are you in the outfield, like portion where you can get a home run ball?
No, we get a foul ball.
A guy named Brett has emailed in to say, get this kid off the air. Okay. So we'll get there. Carson Schmidt live at Yankees spring training. Well, good work, Monkey. Love you much. Enjoy your time down there. Thanks for the report. And yeah. How are the Yanks looking this year? Do they win the East?
Yes.
Blind faith. I really like it. Enjoy, and next time you're out to eat, get lobster and steak.
Okay.
Make sure you charge mom. Love you. See you, bud.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
There he is. So he's checking in from right field / first baseline down in the Steinbrenner Park down in Tampa. So we've got a couple of pictures tweeted out. He's not far from Aaron Judge. We got that sent out there. So Juniors has not yet violated the restraining order, which is good.
I mean, he wasn't going to run into him at Longhorn Steakhouse.
No. It's funny. Get this kid off the air. I'm proud of him. He actually had some inflection in his voice. He wasn't looking at the screen. He was talking.
Yeah, he didn't let any words out that I'm sure you did when you hit that pothole the other day.
Dude, I hit one today on the way back. And I try and drive normal. I mean, I'm driving normal Boulevard, but just, God, I get punched at...
Yeah,
twice a day, and I think I'd break my car. I'm serious.
Every time I hit one, I just think like the suspension's just going to drop
jacked
out.
Well, I'm waiting for the other tire to blow, right, after that adventure. So there you go. There's your spring training. Here's a sad, sad commentary. I really, really do like, And I've been a Red Sox fan since Roger Clemens, right? Since Oil Can Boyd, since Hurst, since Boggs, since Emanski. I mean, I go back to that 86 team, okay? And then with Clemens, and then once Clemens left, screw him, whatever. But I do love the Schilling squad, you know, the Cowboy Up, the Idiots. Mm-hmm. Love those teams that came back to beat New York. Love Big Poppy. I love watching him hit before he retired. Man, Ram's a whack job, but he was incredible with a bat. And Pedro. I mean, Pedro was it. I loved him. So I like the Red Sox. And Junior got converted to the dark side by probably both grandpas. So he's a Yankee fan. Every time we're going to go see the Yanks and Royals this year. We've been to Colorado to see the Yanks. We've been to Minnesota to see the Yanks. He goes to spring training, and this is the second time they've done that. I do like this Yankees team. I like watching Judge. I like watching Gregorius. I think they're super athletic and fun. I mean, I liked Rivera and Posada. I mean, I got a ton of respect for those guys that came up and stayed and finished. And, of course, I loved watching Jabba with the Yankees. So I don't hate them as evilly as most Red Sox fans. But seeing the Yankees teams the last 3-4 years, they've been fun to watch. They've been all right. I hope he has a good time and he's paying attention and doesn't get whacked by a baseball because he's on his phone.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time on a Tuesday, it's Hail Varsity Radio. We have an update from Tampa already. As soon as Junior got off the phone, Aaron Judge hit a two-run bomb. So apparently I'm good luck. I better get a souvenir from Tampa. And not a hefty credit card. Good for him. Okay, we'll be down at Longwell's tomorrow. Want to see you down there, 4 to 6. Watch party, getting you ready for Nebraska. Rutgers, True Blood, the God of Thunder. You have Robes, JPJ, Borkart, Glenn. Let's make this thing a movie, as Coach Miles said. One you remember in a good way. So they are in Chicago. They have landed. They are ready to go. It is Nebraska, Rutgers, and tip off at 5:30. We'll be watching 4 to 6 Hail Varsity Roadshow at Longwell's tomorrow. Bo Reed going to join us. Oscar Great. We'll have a Mike Shuhart sighting. Shuey going to join us on site, still awaiting Derek Peterson. That invitation is out. No word back yet from him. And we'll just deal with it if he's busy. So, we want to see you down at Longwell's. Great food and drink specials going on. Of course, you know the TV size. And that's where we're going to make March home with the tournament for ESPN Lincoln. Want to see you down there. Not only for the opening round games Thursday, Friday with Greg Ethan Hooks, but be there for the championship game. And March to Prize Madness is incredible. Can log on ESPNLincoln.com. But we'll get it all kicked off with the watch party tomorrow. Rutgers, Nebraska. Husker's going to get that W. Maybe. They're a tad bit depleted. We might even have Colton Stone, the 80s action star sighting once he gets done with class to go tip one.
I think that's the plan.
Okay, so you're going to – can't you – who's your professor?
Well, I'm not going to name names. She works in the – I think it's the psychology department.
Okay. So it's not a broadcasting class is, I
no,
guess, what I meant. Okay.
No, I can't. It's not like I can just tell Rick, like, hey, I've got to have a beer right now. I got to go. So.
Professor Schrader.
Yeah. Probably not getting a nod.
He would stare at you
one.
And go, dude, what are you talking about?
Back in 15.
Yeah, you know. That's funny. Well, good enough. So, yeah, you have Aaron Judge hitting a bomb. Did you just call screen for me?
Yeah.
Did you? You kept us all safe?
Yes, I kept us all safe.
We'll just leave it at that because he was ready to go. Was it a Tiny Tim rant that was loaded?
No, actually, it was it was nothing of the sort.
Oh.
So.
Okay. Colton Stone, the brick wall. Okay, can log on, hailvarsity.com, or get to iTunes for the podcast today. Lots of talk about win totals as Vegas is out with 8 for Nebraska. Demetrius Davis is an insanely talented young quarterback. He visited. Greg Smith tells you about that. Mitch Sherman, we talked some spring ball and also some Husker hoops. And we checked in with Junior, my pride and joy down in Tampa, watching his New York Yankees. And Aaron Judge hit a two-run bomb. Longwell's tomorrow. Come see us. Watch party. Big Ten tournament. Nebraska Rutgers. We'll be on at 4 with Hail Varsity. Thanks so much.